The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Gilpin Mayadi. Mayadi?
I'm glad.
Junior, first and foremost, bro, how is everything in Jamaica for you and the friends, family? How is everything over there?
So it's rough, you know, it's a bit rough, but I'm not back in Jamaica as yet because, you know, Trinidad is nice, so I'm just here. But, you know, the family is good because I actually flew back in August because, you know, hurricane is something that we prepared for. So people don't really take it serious, but as somebody in IT who specializes in disaster recovery, that's something I'm big on. So when I flew back in August, we did all the preparations. Funny enough, I can't no, because my house is being used as a shelter. So
wow,
this is what it is. So most of my family is okay. You know, we got no damage because of the preparations that we would have done. But people on the ground that I keep communicating, like a lot of the first and people like that. So we just praying, you know.
Yeah, no, I've never gone through or experienced a hurricane. Curtis, I don't know if you've lived through one, a Cat 4 or Cat 5, me and all of you.
I have. I was in Anguilla once, and that was the first and the last time, because they're in the midst. That's the belt. That's the route for hurricanes. And
I didn't
believe, you know, as a Trinidadian, we never see come see. So I outside trying to feel the wind lift me up. You know what I mean? So that was my kind of vibe.
You was pulling a Michael Jackson just in the wind.
That's true and Tobago. Never see come see. That's real. But
Junior,
is built for that.
Junior, what I was gonna ask you is, you know, what are some of the, because you said you did some preparation so that you minimize, you know, any of the impact. What are some of the things that you would do to prepare?
So typically once they declare the hurricane season, in my community, we usually focus on like cutting trees that are overhanging. So anything that can damage a power line, we usually clear those trees. We look at clearing all the drains and all of the stuff like that. And for like persons with roofing, like who, because a lot of persons have slab roof now, so it will affect those. But the ones with other roofing, we try to help them like strapping them down and stuff like that. So we do a lot of work because I'm a first responder, because I used to work in most of the hurricanes when I work for the government too, distribution and stuff like that. So we would have seen some of the stuff other areas use. So we try to implement some of that, just like in the IT, you know, implement a lot of measures just in case.
I feel we got to do an episode one time, Junior, on, you know, disaster preparedness from an IT standpoint. You know, what does that look like? Because, you know, it's not until, like, you know, growing up in Canada and then moving to Trinidad, I've never experienced any kind of natural disaster where I ever had to worry about it, right? So, you know, I wouldn't even know, like, if somebody came to me and they're like, well, you know, from a technology standpoint, from a backup standpoint, you know, these are some of the things or you should have in place, you know, to prepare for a natural disaster. Like, I wouldn't even know where to begin. Same, you know, same. So we got to do something along that lines, because I think that would be a very good, you know, very good talking point.
Definitely, because that's a part of what we do, you know, and it's actually a part of this conversation today, because once you do the risk assessment and you realize that, hey, listen, you're in a disaster zone, one of the things you want to do is basically implement stuff that can continue the business after the disaster. So, for example, in Jamaica, now we'll be doing risk assessment or audits or whatever, and we notice that, hey, hurricane is coming. However, these computers on the ground floor or these servers on the ground floor need to move to the second floor because you're in the floor. So you know that's millions in equipment we are trying to preserve to avoid flooding and stuff like that. And like days before the hurricane, we would basically shut down our systems. You call it get plastic to cover them, like, in some cases, we get garbage bags and stuff to wrap them completely, tape them up.
So
we don't want any water catching anything and then put them at a higher level where no flooding and stuff like that. So even though the roof may be off and water into the building, these devices would have been protected because we would have taken measures to basically seal
them
from water and stuff like that.
No, that, listen, we definitely got to take a deep dive on that. But, you know, let's start off with some of the basics, you know. So let's start off with, you know, data protection. And why is data protection no longer just an IT issue, but a business survival issue in today's landscape?
Right. So I'm not sure if a lot of people follow the news, but based on what's going on now with the digitization of a lot of organizations and people moving into AI and robotics, you have a lot of data basically floating around. So what countries are doing now is basically implementing data protection laws to protect their citizens and basically, I think that they call it data sovereignty. For example, here in Trinidad, we have the data for the users. We don't want it to be stored anywhere in the world, especially in countries that don't have any regulation in terms of protecting that data. Because there are countries with no data protection law. So what we do is try to prevent the data from ending up in those regions where your data can be in anything. Even the other day, I was telling someone that, hey, even ChatGPT, even some of these simple platforms that you're using, they collect a lot of your data. But within the settings and preferences, you can tell what you want to be done with your data. So this is what we help businesses to do, to minimize how much of their confidential data is exposed on a public standpoint, I guess.
That's really interesting. Now, I'm thinking that the average listener who has a business or a company, a small business or large business, I'm thinking about how they are taking in what you're actually saying. If it's important to them or if it's not important to them, or what, from your perspective, interacting with companies, how open are companies, especially local small businesses, how open are they in terms of adapting security systems or cyber security? How open are they just totally closed and saying, we don't need that over here, we real good, we don't need it, we don't need that, you good, we have no money to spend on that. How open are people to receiving this kind of information and implementing services such as this?
Right. So we have customers that are very receptive. Right. Based on the fact that I would have been experienced in certain areas working both in the US, Jamaica, and other Caribbean countries. So we have customers that are in certain industry that when we say, hey, look at X company that is in the same industry and look at what happened, then they would be like, yeah.
Have examples.
So we have a lot of companies that is really interested in having this done, because we see a lot of lawsuits being filed in other countries because persons' data are being exposed and all of that. So we try to tell people that, listen, it is something that is very, very important. It is serious because there is legal ramifications behind all of this. So be careful when you accessing or utilizing persons' personal data.
Wow. No.
Go ahead, Curtis.
I'm thinking, when we are talking cybersecurity, now it might be a broad word for a lot of people. They hear any security part of it, they hear any cyber. But what if you break down cybersecurity? What are some of the common types of threats that cybersecurity would cover? Like, what does that cover?
All right. So cybersecurity covers a wide range of threats. Let's put it from the average user. You get a simple SMS, and by clicking on that SMS, you could be at risk.
Wow.
You get a WhatsApp message, you could be at risk. You go on Facebook, you could be at risk. So cybersecurity is something that is not only for business, but it's also for the average users.
Wow.
So what it is essentially is basically companies and persons implementing security measures basically to protect their data. For example, oftentimes we see a lot of attackers basically hacking person's Instagram account. It may be a business account, it may be a personal account. But if you implement simple stuff like multi-factor authentication,
right.
Now, there's the difference. A lot of people say two-factor, but we don't use two-factor, we use multi-factor. Wow. Which will require probably two different authentication mechanisms. When you use two-factor, it's the same device. So if you lose that device, person still gain access. So for example, the bank will give you a login on their app, and then they give you a separate token, which is multi-factor.
Right.
That's the thing we tell people, that, hey, you have two phones. You use one for the Instagram app, and then you use the other one as the authenticator in case you lose the phone.
Right.
nobody can access your account. And if you need to retrieve that account, if it gets stolen, you still have that backup phone in your possession. So there's a lot of stuff we can do. So we try to educate the public, business, and otherwise how to prevent these things from happening.
Wow, wow.
Now, one of the biggest things that we, you know, we probably don't hear enough about is companies regularly doing their audits, their cybersecurity audits. How important, and I want you to stress on it, how important are the audits and how often should your cybersecurity audits be happening?
All right, so that's kind of a two-part question. So the first part is why persons aren't really doing it. It's because a lot of companies prefer what you call comfort over compliance. So a lot of the times they don't really want to go through the, we call it now, the tiny details to be compliant. They rather do what they are used to and be comfortable with that. Right. Until there is a breach or there is a fine attached to that situation, then they want to get compliant. Now, in terms of audit, and let's say you're a small entity, I'd say twice per year, right? Because there is two major parts of the year where there's a lot of activities that take place, usually in summer and along the Christmas line. So I'd do an audit before summer, and then this period, you know, heading into Christmas would be a good time to know where you stand heading into next year.
Right.
So for other business, if you have a larger team, I think this should be an ongoing thing, because let's say, for example, 800 Tech, we do continuous auditing of ourselves, because one of the things is a lot of things change in terms of policies, frameworks, guidelines, standards, software changes. So we have to be ahead of things, because we can't be telling our clients to do one thing and then we are not. So we try to have it as an ongoing thing where it can be random. It can be like every month. It can be every 2 months. It's just a random, just to ensure that they said are what they're supposed to be doing, basically. Because a lot of people see auditors, policing, or pointing fingers, but it's not, right? It's like, for example, you have Freedom 106. Your job is to broadcast. All I'm going to do is to check if you're broadcasting proper content. That's all. It's not pointing fingers to say that, oh, you're playing vulgar songs or you're playing this. That has nothing to do with me. It's just to ensure that you're broadcasting along the standards.
Do you think we don't want to know? Because if we know the problems, we're going to be faced with a decision to fix it. Yeah. And then when you're supposed to fix it and you see the dollar tag, you're like, ah.
Yeah, but that's one thing, you know, that's one thing. But when I look at Trinidad and Tobago, I realize even the other day a customer was asking us, the government actually give you a tax break if you implement cybersecurity measures. This is probably one of the only countries I see this happening where the government is actually asking you, please fix this issue. We are going to give you some form of relief if you do it. So, yes, to your question, a lot of people tend to look at the figures and say, oh, yeah, but if we fix this, it's going to cost us. But yeah, if you don't fix it, what is it going to cost you? Because I'm in a situation now where I have some guys working back in Jamaica to fix a solution that we identified a problem from about April. Nobody paid attention to it. Now it cost them probably like $200,000-$300,000 US, and that's not going to solve the problem. That's just to basically fix the issue at hand.
Some companies very well might have done some form of protection in the past, maybe 5 years ago, maybe pre-COVID. They put some kind of system in place. They did maybe an audit of the system, and they said, okay, we did it. I think we're good. We should be good now. What are some of the red flags that would suggest that a company hasn't done an assessment in a long time? Or it just nothing is happening? What are some of the red flags?
All right, so I wouldn't see it as a red flag, because one of the things I tell people, an organization cannot act on something that they are not informed of.
Right.
And if there is no one in the organization to say, hey, listen, auditing IT is an ongoing thing, because a lot of times we have discussion with customers and they'll be like, oh, we don't need cybersecurity because we have a firewall.
Right.
The firewall doesn't really protect you. So, well, it protects you from external threat, but what if the threat is internal?
That's right.
So, a lot of times we get that. But, you know, as I said, it's not a red flag. We just encourage organization. And one of the things is that, as I said, organization may not be staffed to perform these activities. This is why we'd say I reach out to 800 tech, because we have a IT resourcing as a service model where we're not trying to come and take over your IT infrastructure, whatever. You just contract us to get you through that period and you're on your way, because it's just the resource that you need for that service. You know, you just contact us and we'll get that all the way for you guys. So it's not a case where we see it as a red flag, because this is something we actually like doing for our customers.
Listen, I can't stop thinking about, you know, where we are at in 2026 when it comes to, I guess, the progression of companies taking cybersecurity seriously and putting things in place. Junior, we've had many high-profile data breaches. We've had many high-profile data dumps online. You know, we're going into December. We're going into 2026. As a region, how are you feeling about where cybersecurity is in terms of the conversation amongst the companies? And are we finally starting to, did we move the needle this year in terms of more companies getting serious about cybersecurity? Or, you know, is this another year for you where you're like, we aren't where we are at and we need to be doing a whole lot more?
All right, so while I would say we need to do a whole lot more, comparing where we were last year to where we are this year and the amount of work we have put in, not just for our customers, but even with the ISC2 chapter, where we have hundreds of cybersecurity professionals across the region communicating, we realize that everybody is out there trying to make that difference. But while there is a gap to be bridged with the current landscape of the Caribbean and how things are financially, I don't expect us to bridge that gap until probably another 2 to 3 years. But progress is being made, and as I said, it's good to see persons out there, organizations out there reaching out, wanting to know what should we do, how can we get past this stage. So I think the needle has been moved, and slow progress is better than no progress. So
yeah.
No, I'm thinking, as you're saying, slow progress is better than no progress. But with any slow progress, this is the Christmas season, and so much stuff is happening. And as much as people are shopping everywhere, people are also trying to shop off of you and take what you have in a digital way too. Unfortunately, maybe somebody might get hacked trying to, you know, there are people out there that just are constantly attacking. What should somebody do? They didn't do anything. They didn't reach out. They didn't try to educate themselves or their team. And now they realize, wait a minute, our system's off or the screen totally blank. What does somebody do in that particular thing if they suspect, wait a minute, I believe we have been hacked? What's the next step? Who are we calling? The police? Who are we calling?
All right, so it all depends, because a lot of time, what we do for a lot of organizations, we create an incident response plan, which basically details who to contact, who has authority to do what in the case of whatever event. Now, if your organization don't have an incident response plan in place, what I'll tell you to do is to call either a service provider, a reputable service provider, or reach out to what's the guys that was on the webinar with us, TT Cert. So Trinidad and Cyber Incident Response Team with, I think, Anish and Logan and them guys. Those are the guys who you would call to come in and look and tell you that, hey, listen, you're in trouble or you're safe. So
yeah, because that could be kind of scary, you know. You're just not sure what is the how big the problem is. We don't know. You know what I mean?
So that's the thing. And the topic that we're having today is this is why we conduct these assessments. So,
right.
Recently, we conducted an assessment for a client. And when you look at it, basically, you know, the client was exposed. However, that client was one of them clients that, you know, saw the need to have an assessment done. When they got the results, they were very inclined to act on it because they said, hey, listen, we understand that the results are bad, but the good thing about it is that we know you guys will fix it.
Yeah.
So that's the thing about it. So you call us and we get that out of the way. So with that assessment, if there is a breach and you look at it and say, okay, this was the device, you know that that is an isolated device based on an assessment that you would have done. So you know that that is not really a large breach, or this would be an isolated system, or this would be a connected system. So these assessments actually help for you to determine, because a lot of times we see persons get breached and the response, there can be two responses. One, they said that, hey, listen, we took decisive cybersecurity action and our systems are back up. Or they'll tell you that, hey, listen, we have to assess the situation because they really don't know where they stood before they attacked, because probably they didn't do any assessment. So doing that assessment can help you because now you're in a position to recover.
Now, Junior, one of the things that people tend to not like doing is updating applications, updating software. You know, we always feel like if we update the Windows software, if we update the Mac OS software, update the application, that'll be the time we get a bad update. So people in general tend not to update their applications or their software. Junior, what is the level of danger that is presented from something as simple as outdated software and applications?
All right, so I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with previous discussions, but one of the things on the dark web now is that cybersecurity professionals, well, not professionals, because these guys are hackers, cyber criminals, right? These guys are now doing a thing that they call living off the land, right? No, that is a technique where these guys no longer develop specialized tools and whatever. They basically weaponized tools that are already within your infrastructure. So somebody will be out there probing, and as soon as there is an outdated software, that's when you get hit, basically. Because if I create a specialized software, then maybe your antivirus can block it or whatever tool you're implementing. But if you have a software that is already granted full access to your infrastructure that I can take advantage of, why do I need to create a specialized software? So that's a danger, because we saw something as similar as the Spain-Portugal blackout that was due to vulnerability. We saw the Equifax data breach, vulnerability not patched. We saw the biomedical breach within the Caribbean, vulnerability not patched. There's a lot of these breaches, ransomware and otherwise, that are associated with outdated softwares not being patched.
Is there a particular, are there particular favorites amongst the cyber criminals? Like, are there some software, like, for example, like, do they have alerts on, you know, when Microsoft Windows is updating so they know, all right, cool, the update just dropped. We know a bunch of people are not going to update, so we're going to go and target, you know, the Microsoft. Are there some favorite applications that people are targeting?
Well, I wouldn't say a favorite application, but a lot of this information is public information. So if there is a vulnerability out there, Microsoft is at liberty to disclose it. Now, when they disclose it to the public does not only consist of the organization that needs to patch. It also consists of the organization that get paid to act, because we have organized crime in cybersecurity also, which is what a lot of people are not talking about. And even yesterday, I saw you did an article about potential buildup, and persons are not looking at potential cyber threats against both Trinidad and Venezuela in this potential buildup. So it's a very tricky situation that people aren't really paying attention to.
No, I'm thinking you're talking about the weakness in that particular regard in terms of software or lack of updating software. What about the whole idea of how we protect ourselves with passwords? And some people have the same password for 20 years. Or Karen, some people password, the question to guess is, what's your favorite food? Roti. Like, that's your password. How do you see those issues? Or your password is password one. Oh, do you see these kinds of things popping up as some of the reasons as to why people are hacked or systems are vulnerable?
Yeah, definitely. Because here's the thing. The easier passwords are easier to guess. That's one. But not only that, what these guys have done is develop a thing that they call a dictionary. So the dictionary would comprise of like 10, 15, 20 million passwords of different combinations. Yeah, with a powerful system, I can use a dictionary attack to calculate your password in probably 15 seconds.
Wow.
Based on how complex.
That's crazy.
So that's why I tell people, use special characters like hashtag, even the space. Space is one character that has never been cracked by any machine. Wow. Just use the space as a character in your password. So there's a lot of things you can do to help. But if you look at dictionary attacks, man, persons can crack your password in minutes, especially with AI, seconds.
My gosh.
So Junior, give us an example of a good password.
All right, so for example, look at my name, Junior. So what I do, I'll use my name, I do, I'll invert a lot of characters. So I use like a capital J, a U, then I'll use the N, probably an exclamation for I,
a zero for O,
and then R, and then I use a space and probably some numbers.
Keep talking.
You can use these things, but just invert some numbers to symbols and stuff like that.
Karen, we can
now stuff again locked up. I get locked up, Curtis.
No, but then you can use a password manager, because the password managers generally generate complex passwords. So persons can download a password manager from the App Store too. You need one password to access the password manager, but then the password manager holds the thousands.
But then my password manager last pass get hacked.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope. But then if LastPass get hacked, I don't think they're really looking for personal information. I think they're looking for companies that use LastPass.
Right.
So you as an individual won't really be affected. It's just the companies that use that now would need to check and stuff like that.
Oh my God.
It's a lot. It's a lot. And I guess persons who aren't involved in company cybersecurity, they're still listening and they're trying to make sure at least themselves as an individual they are protected, and I know there's a mommy listening or a dad listening and saying, I can't even remember my Facebook password, they're telling me to put some more zeros and
you telling me to put a space.
Use two words and put a space between the two words. It's that simple.
I've never thought about putting a space in a password in my entire life, so I learned something. I was today's old
dog. It's job. Because I'm afraid. It's because I'm afraid to put it.
I wouldn't remember.
It's because I'm afraid.
Let me try three times, I said. Lockout.
It's because I'm afraid. You know, funny enough, I was helping a friend set up their website. So we're putting on one of the security applications for the website. And one of the security settings was for brute force. So like we set it to like, if the person guesses the username wrong twice, it would ban the IP. If the person tried the password three times and didn't get it, it would ban the IP address, right? So after we set up everything, the very next day, she messaged me and she's like, hey, I need your help. And I'm like, what's up? She's like, how do I get unbanned? I'm like, unbanned from what?
Yeah.
Because I changed the password and everything, and I can't remember it, so it's now banned my IP address.
It's a slippery slope, man.
It's a slippery slope. Junior, I mean, you know, we always have some great conversations. And before you came on, we were talking about e-commerce websites, like having, you know, getting more people to jump in, set up the e-commerce website so people can purchase, you know, online, doesn't have to come to the physical location every single time. You know, for the businesses that are thinking about you know, setting up an e-commerce website, you know, finally starting to take some payments online. Do you have any tips, tricks, any particular things that you guys, like, again, when you guys are looking at businesses who are looking to accept payments online, are there some things that companies need to look at, to put in place? Talk to us.
All right. So for me, I'd say basically look at potential payment gateways, because that is a problem within, I'd say, Trinidad in terms of how payments are accepted. I know a lot of persons are not aware of the type of payment gateways that are out there. I'd also say look at somebody professional to develop these websites, because a lot of times when we audit these websites, there are a lot of misconfigurations that we see that could cause potential attack on your e-commerce business. So for me, it's more about payment, because I've been here and I use quite a few platforms before, because I don't really leave, because I have an apartment here in Trinidad. I don't really leave from the apartment. I just order everything from home. And most of the stuff gets delivered. So
yeah,
it's all about payment, really. So once that payment is, because my cards are not Trinidad and Tobago bank accounts, so how do I pay you guys within or from a different currency?
Yeah, absolutely right. So, I mean, Junior, we've been talking about, you know, some of the common mistakes that businesses are making some of the common mistakes that companies are making that are costing millions. You know, as we wrap up today's interview, I want to know, we're winding down to the end of the year. Is there something that you saw as like the biggest mistake that companies have made this year that needs to get some attention?
Well, today's topic, get that audit or that assessment done, because as I said, I've seen cases where we've done audits and, you know, we were able to mitigate stuff before it happened. As I said, just like, for example, before the hurricane, we moved an entire data center to a second floor. Even yesterday, I was talking to the guy, and he was like, once we are ready to reopen business, we're going to call you guys to come and help us, because our data center is good, even though the first floor is flooded. So as I said, get that professional advice. There's a lot of persons out there, 800 Tech and others, that can basically give you the information you need in terms of what needs to be done. Because when you look at the Christmas period, I can tell you there will be a lot of cybersecurity activity. A lot.
Of course. Money out of mech.
It is
money out of mech.
It's called the silly season for a reason, yeah? So what I tell you is that business should get that assessment done to see whether you need to do more backup. Because you don't want to come back in January and then all your backups are corrupted. You understand? You don't want to come back in January and then there are systems that are down that were not being monitored. There are systems that got hacked because they weren't being maintained during that period. So as I said, get an assessment done, seek the professional advice that you need, really.
Do you guys, when you guys do the assessments, are you guys checking the physical infrastructure as well? So like you were talking earlier with how you prepare in Jamaica, when you guys know there's a hurricane, you guys will move the data centers and whatnot, you know. Talk to us about that before we wrap.
So physical security is actually part of information security, you know. So, for example, I'll be doing an audit on your facility. It'll probably be a day and night audit, because what I want to do is I want to check also that there's proper lighting, your cameras are picking up certain areas during the night time. So it's a wide range of things that we cover in a physical audit, should you get one. So we cover a lot of things, where the assets are, how accessible they are to people, like who has physical access to these devices and all of them stuff.
You learn something new every single time, because again, these you talked about a lot of little things that I just never even thought about. One of them being, you know, hurricane season comes around, they're moving the data centers, they're getting those things wrapped up. Again, these are just things that the average person might not necessarily think about, you know?
Yeah, well, even in Haiti, because we have to prepare for earthquakes in Haiti also. So there are stuff that we do also to prevent these devices from, you know, being in rubbles, like building reinforcement around centers and stuff like that. So it all depends on the location.
So that's all part of the risk assessment.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Junior. If these companies, people who are listening, want to go and get that risk assessment, where can they find out more and how can they reach out to you and the 800 Tech team?
All right. So, you know, our website is www.800-tech.com. Our cell phone, not cell phone, office number is 223-8324. And we're on Facebook, LinkedIn, and probably all social media platforms, I guess. Because I'm not really
a junior
person, so apart from
And let us know your LinkedIn, because again, you always drop some good information that people could learn from. Drop your LinkedIn. All
right, so the name is Junior Gilpin on LinkedIn, and I recently started a Facebook account too, because I realized a lot of Trinidadians are on Facebook. So that is basically King Jabari, because that's my actual name that most people call me back home. So
yeah,
if people want to find Facebook also.
Lovely. Junior, thank you for jumping in the digital world. Always a pleasure anytime we get to chat. Lots of knowledge, lots of gems that were dropped. Thank you. And again, eat a little doubles for me. You know, Curtis, go.
Definitely.
You spoke too late. I already dealt doubles already for the daytime.
Wait, so coffee and doubles.
Coffee and doubles.
All right.
That is wild. Junior, thanks again. We'll catch up with you.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.